Mr. Shimerlitz, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, how are you?
Well, and you?
Very well, thank you.
How you found oral ruling so far?
Well, I find it extremely interesting, and some of its ideas very interesting and challenging.
What you would say is the most interesting?
The most interesting is the effort to go back to the truth, base everything on truth and move on, which is not easy. Then the effort that people are trying to find their inner strength and build and develop on it. At a time when people are talking about the challenges of environment, climate change, this effort was done long before talking about climate change became a fashion. And there was a lot of foresight in it. And that's also very interesting for me as an environmentalist.
You serve under many posts, yeah? Which was the most, inner rewarding for you, or the most, the one you enjoy the most?
Maybe you would not say enjoy, but the most challenging and the most rewarding was when I was commissioner for the drought-affected areas of Ethiopia. Commissioner for Relief and Rehabilitation. Mm. And that was challenging because when I started, we had nothing in our hands but the problem and the challenge. And people were dying and many people were facing death by starvation, particularly children and the elderly. And when I saw the challenge and when I was given the responsibility, I really felt very sad. I felt stressed and didn't think that we could handle the problem.
How you handled them?
Well, we handled them because most of the Ethiopians themselves were coming forward as volunteers, helping with their ideas, with their money, and the youth were coming forth, and the international community was willing and ready to help and assist. So with this combined effort of humanity, for humanity, we were able to check the problem and do a lot of rehabilitation work. People had lost everything, their oxen, their properties, some had moved away from their homes, but in about 3 years we were able to get people back to their home and then start giving them oxen, cattle that they can breed, and with the oxen plowing, with the people working very hard, they saw hope. And to see people that hope and work to achieve that hope be a reality is the most rewarding experience that one can have.
If one got hope, then it can move forward, yeah? It's got the motivation to do something.
That's the beginning of everything, hope and foresight. Even the vision, the dream that you talk in all of it is that hope of a better future, a better opportunity, and the possibility of doing better as human beings, being better human beings, and starting the way up to an inner introspection that would give you some strength and improve on your nature so that you become more concerned about others, less about your own self-importance. And those beginnings are the beginnings of hope I see in the Oroben movement also.
So you went through actually crisis with that post. Do you see any solutions for the world in Europe and in the West with economical crisis right now?
Well, there is a lot of challenge there because while people are unemployed, some don't even have their homes, they have lost it. They have lost their job. The bankers are taking huge dividends
and they are being given money. I think that has to stop. This world has to be a world of sharing and helping each other.
So you think that a new economical basis should be based on spirituality?
I think it would be more honest to say a combination of spirituality and concern for others. Spirituality, when you say spiritual, is a common understanding, is thinking about the soul. But when we think about concern for others and being honest about the realities that we face and work for it, so that all of us would be winners, all of us would be able to live with each other, sharing, helping and supporting each other.
What do you think is the main reason that the African countries actually do not prosper as they should with the resources they are really rich, but they are not prospering?
Yeah, because African countries, with the resources they have, the largest in the world, should be prospering. But those who have knowledge and the capacity to exploit that wealth are busy taking it away from Africa and using it for their own purposes. Many of the capitals of Europe were built with the blood and sweat of Africa. American development, the cotton plantations, you see, so they were taking it away and building Europe and this cotton plantation or the slavery that built the South and the capitals there, or the gold and minerals that went from the Congo to Belgium, or the resources that built France, etc., were all going from here. And things were not coming back. And when they come back, they come with a price. Still, they give us money and resources for what they think is good for us, not what we know is good for us. So that is a problem. Secondly, when resources come, the African leaders themselves are abusing their responsibility and are dishonest, and using the resources that came for the poor to enrich themselves. So that problem is very serious. How can you take away money that is given for people that are starving, children that are in need of education, health care, simple vaccinations and medicine that cost cents, can save children from polio, save them from malaria, and these have been the major problems that malaria is killing millions of children all over the world, in the developing world. So this problem of the leaders not being responsible and giving the people the right to move. When people tell them you are wrong, the response they get is being put in jail or being killed. So there is that problem. People know and speak what they want should be done, but they are not given the right to work for their own development.
Yeah, but still, especially if I look at the flow of the Africans coming to Europe searching for better life, for better money, I don't think they have awareness that how rich Africa really is.
And that they know, but the rich of Africa is going to Europe, so they are going after it.
Oh.
Yes, because they know things are going away from Africa. They work in the gold mines, they work in some of these modern materials, tantalum, etc., that are used to make the various chips and so on. They know it's going. And going from your country for being in need of economic assistance is not new. The Europeans did it. Europe went to Africa went to Asia, and went to Latin America, and took away things. Now, when Africans go, they are guarded on the by boats in the seas. They are drowned, and when they arrive, they are told they are economic migrants, and they cannot be considered as migrants. But when the potato farming people of England went to America, no one told them they were economic immigrants. When those who were persecuted because of religious reasons and went to America on the Mayflower, no one stopped them. They could settle anywhere, even push away the people that were settled there, working there, farming there, and taking away their resources and villages. So this migration thing is a very dishonest definition since 51, which everybody thinks only those who are persecuted for religious or democratic reasons can move away. But that was not the natural way of migration. Those who needed moved where it was better opportunity. And now when Africans move for better opportunity, they are not given the chance. They are even sent back to leaders who may kill them. So the whole world is responsible for this, not the African farmer or peasant, but the governments of Europe and America are also responsible. This is how I see it.
So we actually should step together and find a solution to return the things.
Together we are always winners.
Ethiopia was never colonized, yes?
It was not colonized.
So you have better positions than the rest of the African countries, maybe because of that?
Yes, we have better chances. We have our self-confidence. Ethiopians are not ashamed of them being Ethiopian. But we got the problem of leadership. Dictators that come with guns and then take you back instead of taking you forward.
And the people of Ethiopia cannot decide on the government?
No, they cannot. The elections are fraudulent. There is cheating in the election process. People don't have level ground when they compete. The government has all the resources, all the media to campaign, and even to adversely affect the outcome of the election.
As far as now, you come to visit the Geste Orwell and also to talk about the Orwell International meeting next year in Addis Ababa, yeah?
Yes.
So how you see that?
Well, it will be good because Addis Ababa is used to having meetings. You know, some over 60 years ago, the African Union was established in Addis Ababa with lots of meetings. And since then, we had meetings on the development of health services, economic development in Africa, and what he called the Economic Commission for Africa, the United Nations body, is also established in Addis Ababa. So we have lots of meetings where we get together and discuss and talk very sensibly, talk about good solutions for African problems. We don't do that. So those who promise us economic know-how, technical know-how to help with the development, are not giving it, but they have promised it.
In the UN. Or give you, and it's a high price. Yeah.
Yeah. And when we decide we will do this, for example, for climate change, all those heads of state were there, talked about good proposals and good ideas, but they didn't agree to sign the good ideas they proposed. Takasta has told Mother that we should build Miraville, and she has said, yes, it is a good idea. That's what happened. If there is an idea, that is a good idea. Everybody should join together, like the development assistance, like saving lives in those countries where there is a problem of famine, should get together, make that idea better and be implemented by all of us, so that we all own it, like Oroville is everybody's city.
Yes.
Ideas that are good and that are in line with the thinking of what the Orovillians have said they believe in, what the mother has spoken, what Sri Aurobindo has spoken and proposed from the books that I have been reading, should be owned by all of us, and we should try and implement them. Not only know them and read them, but own them. An individual owned that land he gave us to do miracles on it.
We can hope that it's going to be built in the next 10 years. Maybe.
I'm a hopeful man. Maybe it will be built. But it all depends on all of us.
Still to have a meeting, AVI International, it's a big thing, yeah?
Absolutely.
So I think maybe that would be a breaking point?
It would help. Not a breaking point, maybe. It would help when people who are members of Oroville are meeting there and spreading their idea and the thoughts so that everybody understands it and begins to try and understand it. Then there is movement starting, and that movement will lead us somewhere. You see, the Europeans are talking about European unity.
Yeah.
And when they started the European economic cooperation, they said it is difficult, they kept it on pending. And when they wanted to have the same currency, some stayed out. Europeans have killed each other. They have fought against each other. When young Charles of Sweden was invading Russia and Turkey, and the Italians were five little states in 1500, and they were killing each other. The Irish and the British have fought and killed each other. The Scottish and the British have killed each other. So this has happened. But Croatians and Serbians is still a raw wound. It has not healed fully. But the British and the Scottish, the British and even the Irish are moving forward in a union. And Europe has moved further in a union. It will not happen in one day, but we have to try and move on to be one. So when you talk about African Union, we still know within one country, Tutsi, and Hutu, are fighting. In Sudan, North and South is fighting. In Africa as a whole, in some parts, Arabs and non-Arab Africans are fighting. So these problems exist, but that does not mean things will not change, and we have to work so that things change, that deep down in us, there is a lot of good in each other, so much that is common among us. We should emphasize what unites us, and not emphasize what divides us. And there is a chance that we can move forward towards union. The whole world, North Africa, could be better united, better organized, and move together. And I think the Oroville idea and thought of, let us say, Oroville belongs to everybody who is guided by the truth and by the principle that there is good in us, and through that good evolving and improving, we all can be citizens of Oroville and own Oroville. we can't own the world and be citizens of the world and help each other.
Yes. Are you going to meet any of International Advisory Council members? Or well, governing boards?
Yes, I'm going to meet them. I have met some of them already. And I'll meet those whom I have not met yet. And I hope we'll be exchanging ideas and thoughts, and I'll learn from their experience and advice they'll give to me. And I have an open mind about the meetings that I will have.
And how you see the Africa House, the Pavilion for Africa?
Well, I think we have done bigger things than what we have planned here. So Africa United and the world united, or Pavilions United, can build it, and it will be a reality in a short while.
I don't know if you know, but the international zone as mother layout, it should be built by the finances from government. So you think Africa could build up the African pavilion?
Could, yes. What we would say depends on how we approach them, how well we pass on the information. Because Oroville has existed now for since 1968, but they never went to Africa to tell African leaders to join hands. You have got the Indian government working here, but when they meet in the United Nations, they never took this up. Only at UNESCO did an effort was exerted to get resolutions that would pay attention and make use of the ideas and the ideals of Oroville, and that all should support it and be members and teams that work for the strengthening. If we do more at the other UN bodies, even in the Southeast Asian meetings, in the Americas, and in African meetings, European meetings, the European Union, then we'll be able to do more and better for.
So what do you think is the reason that it's only few Africans here? Few.
No one told them. No one, they did not hear. Now, if you call someone, that person has to hear you calling him.
It's true. So how we can do that?
Talk to them, go to them, write to them, and have a media effort to inform about the ideas and the ideals of the Oroville, what has happened so far, what were some of its difficulties and problems, and what are the good things that are coming out, and how strengthened it is becoming and moving forward, and that it would be stronger when everybody comes, because Oroville is everybody's city. That message has not reached yet Africa, or even Latin America, by and large.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, if I would go, for example, in Congo,
yeah,
would anybody listen to me?
Yes, why not?
Because I'm white, I'm from Europe.
Well, you have been white and they have been listening to you.
Yeah, you, but yeah. Example, because the way I see it is still, if I want to share something which is really important, whom I would trust? The someone I know? Or the someone who is a complete stranger and is maybe still trying to sell me something, or to, you know, because in through the history with the colonizations and even modern colonization with the industry and so forth, as African, I don't think I would trust somebody who would come again from Europe or from somewhere.
Well, there are individuals that are trusted. And individuals that are not trusted because of who they are and what they are doing and how they have done things. But Africa can no more complain and blame colonialism for its backwardness. Africa has to do its own part. And one of that part is to listen to those who have developed and gone ahead before us, and to engage in dialogue those colonial powers that have colonized Africa and find a solution, a dialogue. If you close the door, then opportunity also is closed. So we can talk. If we can talk to make money together, we can talk to do good and be good.
Have you been in Mathieu Mandir?
Yes, I have.
And how you feel about it?
I feel a very quiet and a very peaceful place. And a feeling that I had was a feeling of peace and a feeling of quietness, even to listen to myself. And that would help, because listening to yourself and listening to others is the beginning of getting things done together, learning from each other, helping each other, strengthening each other when we are weak. And that way, build a force that will work for peace, that would work for overcoming ignorance, poverty, and misery, and the energy that waste fighting against each other would be diverted to do the good that can be done in this world.
Will you come back to Auroville again?
Yes.
Definitely.
Definitely.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.